You can do it. The time is now. Let's get to it. Just believe. Just believe. Just believe.
In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents the authentically entertaining voice of truth and inspiration. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with the always unforgettable, ever insightful conversations that captivate our fascination and insatiability for the inspiring moments of real life journeys. As we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a better understanding of our true selves and the world in which we live, always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. Good for all and all for good. And now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Well, let's get to it. This is Filippo Voltaggio on Life Changes with Filippo, and I'm here with Mark Lejeune. Actually, I am flanked by Marks. I've got Mark Bookends. We're here in the studio. I've got Mark Lejeune on one end and another Mark on my left. Let me tell you a little bit more about him before I actually tell you his full name. If you've been on Facebook and on our website, of course, you already know. Our guest is an educator, an author, an executive coach, and a consultant with extensive international experience helping clients invent new products and processes in entertainment, the fine arts, business, and science. And I should know because I was one of them. He earned his master's in human development. I'll tell you more about that later. And psychology at Harvard University, and was a sponsor and member of the Dialogue Project at the Sloan School of Management at MIT. Mark developed the highly regarded process for creativity and corporate innovation, now known as the Artist's Way, the Artist's Way at Work, Writing the Dragon. He co-authored the books based on his work and is a popular speaker, amongst other things, and seminar leader on creative leadership, innovation, organizational development, creativity, family relationships, and talent management. Mark's books have sold 3 million copies. I'm sure it's been more than that, in 20 languages. Marx is also the author of several best-selling books on family dynamics. These include The Prodigal Father, Reuniting Father and Their Children, and Codes of Love, How to Rethink Your Family and Remake Your Life, and Money Drunk / Money Sober. You know, I don't know why this isn't listed in his bio. I know he's been on Oprah many times. He was one of the favored guests. He was one of the core people she used when she did, and one of the things was when she ended her network talk show, she chose Mark's work with families as one of her 15 greatest lessons in 25 years on television. So our guest when we come back, the man himself, Mark Bryan.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood. Made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients. All developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
Clean water is not enough. Reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They are acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb, and rob minerals from the body. IonWay's ionizers produce a super abundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and a negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an IonWay's ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. An ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today. IonWay's water systems, their water changes everything. To learn more about IonWay's water systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our sponsor page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
You know, this is Filippo, and I feel very lucky here sitting in between two marks. We are marking this day because it's...
not this again.
Did I mark the day before? For having two very special marks. Now, so Mark Lejeune and I were talking at the beginning of the show. I was telling him how when I left corporate America... You see, I always wanted to be a singer, and I always loved entertainment, but my father and my parents thought I should get an education, which was, I'm sure, a very good thing, and I'm happy to have it. And then Mark Bryan is nodding his head. Yeah, thank you. I'm glad it's so obvious. And so I got a great education at an institute of very high learning. I got a job at IBM and was working there for many years and all that. And I became not only institutionalized by having gone to an institution and quote unquote institutionalized, but I became corporatized by working for one of the largest corporation who actually had invented, which actually had invented so many of the corporate structures. It was the top three company in the world at the time. And so it had invented how people do certain things. I remember specifically being taught how to move my fingers, not my hands, but also my hands, my arm, and my fingers when I was pointing at things over here, and how I were to,
I want that training.
I was to address people and all of that stuff. So I was
this
taught.
When you were institutionalized.
No, that's not when I was institutionalized. That's when I was corporatized. In the university was very different. But so my point is, at some point, I decided that I wanted to be creative and use my creativity, my singing that I had had from ever since I was a child, my drawing, my writing, and I couldn't bring it out while I was at the corporation. I literally had to leave the corporation in order to start thinking about how do I do this, and still it was hard for me to do it. And somebody said, what you need is the artist's way. Get the book, start reading it, and you can start being creative. And the book started to tell me, well, we'll talk about this in a little bit, but the book started to tell me, start writing. Don't edit yourself. Write at least a page a day, blah, blah, blah. And then the book was saying, you know, start painting, doodle, whatever it is. And now, look how creative I am. And I've done so many stuff through writing and singing and all that stuff. And now, as a life coach, I'm actually teaching people things that I learned in that process. So to have Mark Bryan here, who's listening so patiently as he's nodding, going, yep, that's in my book, yeah, is very exciting.
Very exciting.
I'm also envious of such a great voice.
Oh,
I heard your songs. I love your voice.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, it's, you know, the work was certainly ahead of its time, and I think we're opening up now to the power of and reality of our own creative selves and how to use that. I think we unlearned creativity, and so Mark's work has certainly helped us to relearn that, or for some to just simply begin to tap into their own creativity.
You know, maybe there was a time in corporations or the growth of culture or corporations when people needed to do things a certain way in order to achieve things. I don't know. But certainly that time now is gone. It's certainly a different time. And ironically, that's now getting in the way of creating a whole different new world or new corporation. So his work, not only for artists, but for corporate America. or the world.
Corporate world. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, it's ubiquitous. And it's never been more.
And it's also widespread.
And widespread. All over.
It's never been what? I'm sorry, I interrupted you. That was so good. I stopped you.
Thank you for that. It's never been more in need. I think it's more relevant today than even when the work was first released, and becoming more so as the systems are breaking down, and as you know, some of what you're saying, and more so the fact that there is a need to relearn this and need to tap into this creative energy.
Well, let's bring him on. Educator, executive coach, author, and consultant with extensive international experience, and one of Oprah, he's one of Oprah's fans, Mark Bryan, everybody. Thanks for being on the show with us.
Hi, Filippo. Hi, Mark. Hi, everybody in the back.
Hey, welcome. Joe. Thank you for that.
Hi, Scott.
I couldn't agree more.
So, well, I know it was an amazingly innovative company, though, and continues to be. So I think that balance between chaos and structure is sort of important to grab. It's the difference between just processing your feelings every day and not writing the screenplay versus processing your feelings and getting to the screenplay and doing both. So I think that had you been doing Artist Way without taking the next steps into back into your singing and back into your recording, then we'd have had to talk about it.
Okay. Well, now
it's
that I know
balance.
You.
But I do have to say, I'm curious, and this is since you're an insider in the corporate space, I've always wondered how IBM missed Microsoft coming, how Microsoft missed Google, how did Google miss iTunes and iPhone? And, you know, you've got thousands of engineers who are just as creative and working as hard as possible, and yet when they get down that one pike, they don't see what's coming around the corner. And I think that's where innovation gets most exciting.
Well, Mark, I could give you the company line because that question came up a lot, but I actually have other theories, and those we'll have to take offline.
Okay.
But
is IBM listening? Are they?
No, but you had to let's start here.
Okay.
So first of all, thank you, because it helped me a lot.
I thank you for that. I appreciate it. Julie and I, you know, we were happy to do it, and it's 25-year overnight success, more or less, you know.
But, yeah. Exactly.
We've
exactly.
taught in living rooms, we've taught in bookstores, and we've taught wherever we were asked for a long time, and the book got well known because we asked people what was working. It was a conversation always. We never were the guru who knew what was going on.
I like
we would
that.
Say, hey, what's working for you? Mark, what's working for you when you're playing music? Because I know you do. You know what I mean? And then listening. So I think that's a really important part of the creative process and the coaching process, right, is to listen, hear that. What's underneath the presentation?
So you actually started answering my question before I even asked it, and that's part of the answer. I know there's a lot more. What was your artist's way?
My artist's way was that I was actually seeing a therapist. Oh my God, did I admit that?
There was a time
I divide creativity into creativity of self, which is I want to be bigger, faster, smarter, stronger next year than I am this year. How do I do that? And that's coaching. That's where, you know, behavioral assessments, psychology, social workers, all that comes in. And then there's the creativity of artifact, which is let's create something, screenplay, movie, CDs, vocal talent. And then there's the creativity of community, which is how do we build a network? How do we change the world? How do we do social entrepreneuring so that people live better lives and we can give back what we've received? And for me, it was at the urging of this wonderful therapist, Sheila Flaherty in Chicago. Thank you, Sheila, who I still know 30 years later. She said, Mark, I'm tired of hearing you complaining about writing and whatever. So just write a page a day, whatever comes to mind. And you don't have to show it to me or anything. And about 90 days into that, I might have had 60 pages because, you know, I'm not a perfectionist, as you can tell. But a friend called me on Friday night, and he goes, hey, I have a friend who's asked me to help her move tomorrow. Would you do that? And I said, well, you know, I'm busy, and I hung up. And then I felt guilty in 30 seconds. And called me back and said, okay. And I went over, and it was Julia and her daughter Dominica, and we helped her move that day. And she goes, you know, I'm a writer. And she just finished writing a series on Kurosawa for the Tribune. And she said, I'll read your pages for you. And I said, oh, my God, you don't read my pages. It was just what I was, you know, top of mind writing. But unbeknownst to me, she took 10 pages about my teenage marriage. I was married as a teenager, father as a teenager, divorced as a teenager, all that stuff. A very traumatic time in all of our lives back then. And she sent it to New York and had an actor read it as a monologue. It was about 10 pages scattered among the 80 or so. And so instead of giving me a critique or telling me what she thought or, you know, talking about literary theory, she put a tape recorder on the table and said, here, let's listen to this. Oh, whoa, that's interesting. So that became my first solo book many years later. But as we were sitting there in the dining room table, she goes, well, you know, how do you know you're not a writer? How do, have you known that you're not a writer? I mean, why haven't you been doing this? And I go, well, you know, I was busy eating and building a career in new product development. So. And then we decided that afternoon to start reaching out to friends who we know, because we knew a lot of them in Chicago that were struggling with some creative process or another, acting in some of the great active theater in Chicago, and or writing, or wanting to be doing something different. And that's our first workshops came from that. And the original Artist Way, it was born from our teaching notes. It was just 8.5 by 11 that we hand-bound, and it was called Healing the Artist Within. And then a year or so into that, we were holding reunion workshops every 90 days. Okay, what do you need, Mark? Oh, I need this, you know, and we would just start to incorporate that stuff. And it's 12 weeks because a group was cooked, what we called cooked, by 10 to 12 weeks. They'd worked through whatever the blocks were, and they were ready to rock and roll, you know, and they're ready to go and get a, you know, an art buddy and go off and make something, which is great. And so that's why we just split the difference between 10 and 14 until it's 12. And now there's an awful lot of data about a lot of the things we were doing then, but you know, we were doing it as practical tools, not necessarily as research or theory.
Well, and that was way ahead of its time. That's part of what I was referring to, this idea of creatively collaborating. You know, now you have the, you know, the age of crowdsourcing and the way the communities interact and the viral nature of sharing and the community empowerment. And that's, in essence, what you guys were, you know, championing and teaching so far in advance.
Yeah, thanks.
Interesting. Yeah, yeah, thanks. So, I like
I
that.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, makes sense.
And thank God. I mean, the world's changed. Done an awful lot of inventing of new tools for that, which is fantastic.
So. Yeah. Well, speaking of tools, actually, when we come back, I'd love for you to share some of those tools. I kind of hinted at it at during the monologue, but if you could just share just a couple for people, and then they can go and get the book if they want to learn more or come to the workshops or whatever. And then also, I'd love to hear like some, like you heard from me,
right? I did.
You know, anybody else that, you know, stands out? Like, did Oprah start off by doing the Artist Way? Anyway, so when we
She didn't even know I would, had been involved with it. We had done about 8 shows together, and she was had Julia on in the in the spirit section, and she was looking at the back of the book. I'm sitting in the audience because our section, our segment was over, and she said, "Hey, this is you." I said, "Yeah." She didn't know.
Oh, she didn't know. Okay.
Wait, she knew the Artist Way. For
wait,
sure.
So he really knows Oprah? I mean, you were just trying to get listeners to listen. You really know Oprah? Oh my God!
I have met her. Yes.
Oh,
I
wow.
have quite a few times.
And he's been on the show, and Oprah.
She has
loves
amazing
him.
Focus, by the way. She can you can tell whether Oprah's looking at you from 40 feet away if you're in a line of 6 people sitting there.
Interesting.
That's focus. He has laser focus. Very smart.
Interesting.
Woman.
Well, I guess we're going to get to hear more Oprah stories when we come back.
No, we're going to get tools. We're going to talk about tools. They can always find Oprah.
Tools and maybe a couple success stories. It would be a lot of fun when we come back here on Life Changes with Filippo live from the Joint Studios in Burbank, California.
Are you like many people who want to make positive changes and improvements in your life and in the world around you? Do you ever feel like there's something holding you back from achieving your true potential? Join Stefan and Shaylee Schifeidel with the Tad James Company, the world's largest NLP, coaching, timeline therapy, and hypnotherapy training institute. Get ready for a life-changing experience that will give you the tools to transform your life through positive change and will help you create the future you want now. Their training programs are designed to provide you with the revolutionary knowledge, skills, and techniques necessary to effectively create long-lasting and life-changing effects. Discover more about neuro-linguistic programming and timeline therapy at www.nlpcoaching.com or call 888-440-4823. That's 888-440-4823. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
It sure is, and this is Filippo. I'm sitting here with Mark Lejeur and our guest, Mark Bryan. I should probably say that Mark Lejeur and Mark Bryan are friends. It's not just because they're named Mark.
That's right.
I actually don't even know how you two met.
We met through...
investing.
Through investing, through friends of friends in this transformational educational space.
Yeah.
And
Mark's
here. Quite an entrepreneur in his history. I know it.
Yeah.
He's done an awful lot of great high-tech stuff and...
Yeah.
Cool. Very
wow.
cool.
Cool. Well, this is the...
It's a whole other show, though, right?
That is a whole other show.
the Marxual Admiration Society. Okay.
So enough!
If you want to learn more about the Mark Bryan, you can go to markbryan.com, and that's spelled Mark as in M-A-R-K, B-R-Y-A-N. Bryan is B-R-Y-A-N. That's markbryan.com. So, learn about him there. You could learn about the workshops that he's doing. You can get The Artist's Way that we're talking about and many other books, and also see him in all kinds of stuff there. So by all means, go to markbryan.com. Mark, you learned a lot, as you said, from the workshops that you were teaching.
Right.
So I've often said on the course, we learn most what we...
What we teach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or how does that go?
Yeah.
We teach most what we need to
what
learn.
We most need to learn. We teach what we most need to learn.
Was that you?
Absolutely. Yes. And, I'd want to be a writer for 15 years and hadn't written more than a few lines or a start. I had a great file of titles. Has anybody out there got a great file of titles they're going to write someday?
Like titles of books?
Yeah. Okay. There's a fantastic title. Great idea. But an idea is not an artifact, you know? I mean, you really have to put flesh on it. And so The Artist's Way process was all about that for me, for sure.
Okay.
And also how to do iterations, right? So that somebody's criticism didn't shut me down, and it's or somebody's praise. Praise is actually more dangerous, I think, than criticism.
Okay.
Some of us, resentments are good for some of us. You know, they'll criticize a work and we'll go, to hell with them, I'm going to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But when someone praises you a lot, it raises the anxiety level. And my job as a coach, by the way, of creatives is to manage their anxiety so that they're motivated enough to get off the couch and get into action, but we don't pass that window at which they become so anxious that they crash.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes success can do that for sure.
Wow.
Which is why, you know, if something's going well, you know, from being in the recording studio, right? Something's going really well, and then all of a sudden I've written 5 songs and now I feel like I'm never going to write another one again.
Yeah.
Right? It's because we tap that well and we need to refill it. And one of the exercises from Artist's Way, several of them actually, are meant to take us out of our normal routine to give us new inputs. Right? It's like changing the computer program.
Okay. So perfect. We're right there. Like what?
Like if you're talking about the artist date, it's absolutely anything you want to do. It could be go to eat Korean food. It could be take in an opera if you've never seen one. Yeah, gimchi's not something that I really love a lot. But the idea is to get out of your normal pattern, even walk a different way to work. Rhythmic exercise is really good. A lot of the things that the group was telling us back then worked for them, there's lots of data on now. I mean, you know, I didn't go to Harvard as a 25-year-old. I went to Harvard as a 40-year-old because – The Artist's Way was already getting very well known, and I was working on Artist's Way at work, and we'd done Money Drunk, Money Sober, and Julie and I had done an awful, you know, we're building a body of work, and the workshops got well known, and people were coming, and I thought, well, I better find out what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Cambridge and did a master's, and I worked with some heavy researchers in creativity and innovation, and I kind of learned why the Artist's Way works, and I'm writing a new book about why that works and how you can make it work better. But the main issue
you have a
the
title
main
for that already,
that
don't you?
I do, yes. And I will be back in about 5 months, and we'll sell it to everybody.
Look forward to
or
that.
Trade it for whatever. You know. But the point was there's about 3 things that are really critical. One is we have to have a way to capture ideas before they fleet away.
Mm.
You know, it's that wake up in the 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, and you got that line or melody going through your head.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't capture it right then, it could be disappeared forever.
Like that's actually right? good stuff because I think, oh, it's just because I'm sleeping and I'm dreaming that it's good. But it could be good.
It could be really good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it could be really good.
All right.
And so it's if we can capture that. I interviewed Graham Nash for the public television series we did. And he said, you know, I just keep him a recorder by my bed, and I call my melody in, you know. He says, so I don't wake the old lady, which I thought was, you know, very 60s okay. kind of rock and roll. Great guy.
He lives
very
with
creative
his mother?
Guy. No.
What does that mean?
No, not hardly.
What old lady?
Not hardly. He's a rock and roll star. But he also does photography, and that's another thing, is we think of our creativity having to be in one specific area, you know. And, you know, he's doing photography, and he's doing music and sculpture, and so I think is when we can give ourselves the broadest range of experience, it can be helpful to the primary job we're doing. For instance, I've been coaching some actors, and I coached one of them to go do sculpting classes because I thought he needed to work in three dimensions. And it took his career in a whole new direction and a very successful direction, and that was great. But it wasn't about the acting. It was about helping him find a new story to tell and a new concept of himself that wasn't so pressured in the acting world. Because if I'm doing creativity over here, for instance, the science projects I'm doing, like with the UCLA Medical School now, developing a new treatment for cancer with a bunch of world-class physicists and biologists, way over my head, but it's fun, you know, helping facilitate that process. And
well, but it's
and
not
doing
like
that
over your head, because
helps
technically
me start to energize my other sort of wanting to write a new piece of fiction.
You're inspiring creativity. That's what you do. So it doesn't matter what field, right?
Right. That's true.
So you don't have to understand the science of cancer and all that.
That's right, because it's how do you get up, capture those ideas, how do
right.
you
develop
them,
the
how do you
thing?
Deal with criticism. So the first thing is let's capture the ideas.
All
so
right.
Most big C creatives, they call them big C creatives, people who've changed the domain in which they work forever, you know, Martha Graham in dance, Sigmund Freud in psychiatry, Picasso in painting, they have some form of daily reflection. And so they're not only, you know, listening to themselves and writing down like the morning pages would do in our particular model. They're capturing those ideas, and they're also reflecting on their life and on the thoughts. And you know, we call it a doorway to our intuition. And then when I was in Cambridge, I call it Cambridge speak. At MIT, they said, oh, it's a 24-hour feedback loop. I said, okay, that's what it is then.
Interesting.
Doesn't matter what we call it.
Okay.
The fact is it captures ideas. The second thing is they had a way to leverage their strengths, right? You're on radio. You got a great voice. You're a good singer. You're a good songwriter. I should say excellent at both. And so that's a leverage of those strengths and the courage it takes to change your life. I mean, it took me a lot of courage around reuniting with my son, for instance, right, and my family members as an older guy, and I was able to do that and wrote a book about it because I talked to a lot of guys of divorce and non-married fathers who really didn't know what to do. How do you do it? How do you, you know, make amends? How do you reconnect? Is it too late? What's the deal? So that's part of what I did on Oprah was, you know, reunite families and
wrote
a couple books about that. So,
so
that we have to be able to leverage our strengths and whether that's courage and the ability to look at yourself in a new way or some skill set you may have had from IBM, which is great, right? I mean, they have a
right.
I remember SWOT, right, Mark? It's strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats was their big IBM way to analyze some business opportunity.
Right.
This is great stuff. So,
and so number three is courage.
So I would say courage and the ability to leverage your strength, whatever
that
strength is. It takes courage to do that because otherwise you won't even approach it.
Right.
You know? And the third thing is – we got to go?
No, no, okay. With the third thing?
The third thing is a way to reframe our failures. A lot of people will listen to that one no and that's it. You know, and part of the whole artist way is a little bit about anarchy, you know, artist way at work. It's, you know, if they won't fund your business, then just crowdsource it now. This is great.
Yeah,
you know, go to Kickstarter and go at them and go around that old VC banking structure to get it done. So that idea of reframing your failure is very important.
Hey, Mark, I had a question for you. You said you went to Harvard at what age?
I was 40.
40.
I had to beg my way in, by the way.
Hey, whatever. You got there, right?
Yeah,
and you didn't take
fine.
No for an answer.
Yeah, I didn't.
Right.
I didn't.
So what do you think you learned differently going to Harvard at 40 versus, you know, 20?
That a kid that came from rural West Virginia and was a Navy brat and had completely messed up his life as a 16-year-old father and married husband who had to paper out, you know, and was now out of high school, could actually get there was one of them. You know, just the idea of walking across the Charles River Bridge and going, oh, my God, I'm at Harvard.
Right.
There must be a God. That was part of it. And I had a very dear friend, by the way, who I'd gotten into Harvard, and I was, you know, very emotional about it, and because, you know,
sure, it's a big deal.
It was a long-term dream, sure. Right? And I couldn't find an apartment in Cambridge to save my life, and I kept calling and calling, and the guy at the, you know, at the residence's office just kept sort of got bothered with it. You know, he'd say, "Okay, Mark, no, thanks, bye." You know, and so I called a friend. I said, "What am I going to do?" And he goes, "Well, you know, Mark, think about your early years. You know, your teenage life. Do you really think that guy could have gotten into Harvard?" I said, "No." And he said, "Well, do you think God might have gotten you into Harvard, or some kind of spiritual force, or right, and or at least aided you in that?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I guess so. It's part of my recovery, etc." And he goes, "Well, then pick up the phone and call him." So I picked up the phone and called him, and the guy says, "You know what? Hold on." And the very biggest apartment in Cambridge came. It was the penthouse of the right above the police station on the fourth. It was the old hotel right there across from the Sheridan Commander.
Sure.
And it was like 2,500 square feet. I had a teaching room. I had a balcony over it. It was unbelievable. So I said, okay, well, there must be a God.
So you and God shared that
so
penthouse.
So we did, yes. God took most of it.
But did God keep the cops away?
And the cops were right there in case I got out of line, that's for sure.
That's awesome. You know, capturing ideas, leveraging strengths, courage, reframing failures. I mean, it's interesting because when I read it, this is all in the book, and that's not what I was focused on. So, you know, I think I need to reread it because now that I'm older and at a different place, I'll read something else.
Yes,
and
you
I'll
will.
Get something
that's
else,
absolutely true.
Right?
Yeah, and a lot of the people that have been our fans or participants for many years have had the same experience where, oh, my God, it's all about this now for me. It's a whole different thing.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about a couple successes, but basically my success and your success, I mean, that's good enough.
Well, I mean,
if you may say so.
I don't know if anybody's watched Californication, but they were spoofing us on Californication for a year or so, you know, and there was a real kind of gooey character.
There it is.
Named Julian with a gold cross. And, oh, God, it was like I guess that's the highest form of flattery is to be spoofed.
There it is. Well, of course, people can go and read The Artist's Way themselves if they want to learn a lot more than that. But when we come back, actually, I want to talk about this father thing. I know it's near and dear to your heart, and Mark's a father, well,
and you hope to be.
And fathers are very important. I feel like I am. I love children, and I seem to father or uncle children. I don't seem to father children. I seem to uncle children all over
the place.
They love
you. You love them. I get it.
So with that, I really want to talk about that when we come back here on Life Changes with Filippo with our guest, Mark Bryan. Go to Mark Bryan, BRYAN.com to learn more about him. We'll be right back.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him, then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
I-P-P-O. Ippo. We're back. I am Filippo, and I'm with Martin.
What how do you spell it again?
F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Don't make me say it again. And I'm with we're here.
The Marks, and, stereo
with
Marks.
The Marks, yeah. I kind of like that. Mark, you might have to come back, and you know,
I'll do that.
Yeah,
I like this chair.
Maybe not have to wait 5 months. Mark Bryan, Bryan. If you go check him out at markbryan.com, you'll learn much more about him than here. But what I love about this is that we're actually getting really personal. And during the break, we talked about some personal things that may just come up a little bit later. But what could be more personal than talking about father and son relationship? And you said that healing the relationship with your son was like this big thing. Like so, what I'm inferring is that there was a schism in between that at one point.
I was married 16 and father by 17 to my childhood sweetheart. And of course, if you're 17 and have no help to stay married, it's not going to be easy. Mm. And we didn't, and partly my fault, partly the world's fault, I guess. I'll take responsibility. Mm. But there were 7 years
for your
which,
part, at least.
I would say more than 50% anyway. The point is, when I started writing the book, I was already back in touch with Scott, who at that time was 18. And I'd started the process of reuniting when he was 13.
Wow.
It'd been 7 years since we'd seen each other. Hmm. And he'd been adopted by another man. And so all those factors really kind of keep a dad and a mom on the other side of it sort of separated from the pain that separated them in the first place. Hmm. I mean, divorce is really hard, everybody. If you've been through it, you know it. And if you haven't, please try not to do it, no matter what you have to do, therapy, social work, whatever, find help. Because I think a lot of marriages could be saved if they found the right tools. And so he actually wrote his story for
Scott,
the book,
your
for Prodigal Father. Yeah,
really?
And the first Oprah show we were on together, and you know, I was in his wedding and his, you know, the birth of my granddaughters, et cetera, et cetera. All of which are joys in my life I would not have had had we not reunited. And as he was writing his story of being an 8 and 9 year old boy who was, you know, at Father's Day telling stories about the fact that his dad had died in a motorcycle accident coming to see him, you know, oh my God, it's so heartrending because we tend to think of the pain that we're in and not the pain that the problem is causing others, particularly the children. So, so there are times when you just have to suck it up, you know, be a man, be a woman, and own your mistakes and say, I'm sorry, and here I am, and I'm not leaving. And that's true for the last 25 years between us anyway. He's now a successful attorney in Oklahoma, and I have grandkids, and they're running around and having fun
and you
causing havoc probably by now.
And a life you wouldn't have had and experiences that you wouldn't have had.
That's right, because it's haunting. Mm-hmm. I mean, for 150 fathers or so that I would talk to at different times. You know, be at a dinner party, and people would be talking, and they'd it would turn to divorce, and the guy whose kids are living out of state would immediately shut up and go do the dishes or whatever.
Wow.
And I just started noticing that, which is why I chose to write the book. And those were the very first pages that Julia had done that monologue. That became Prodigal Father, so and was the Oprah show stuff. But and I just recently worked. We've reunited. It's a foundation, so we've reunited families in 26 countries, And I recently worked for the first time with an Islamic, a Muslim man from the Middle East, traditional marriage, wealthy families in this particular area of the Middle East, and a Muslim wife who had moved away and with this child, several years separated. And so I was a little concerned about, okay, what does this mean? You know, it's a very different culture than I was raised in. And same process, same, you know, need to control, desire to control, wish it was different, pain and frustration that was part of the emotional contact of two people who are married and have a child and then divorce. And it's worked beautifully. And it's been one of the, you know, it's always the joy. You know, I mean, it reminds me of mine. So not always easy. It's real life. That was my deal with Oprah. Okay, Oprah, I'll do it, but we're going to do it in, you know, in long term, right? And the first two kids, Irene and I, with their father and Oprah, said they didn't want to see him again, and they were done. And I extracted a promise from them that, you know, it was Grant and Jason. This is 15 years ago or whatever. And I said, okay, guys, will you just listen, will you just read a letter if I get him to write you a letter? So they wrote, he wrote him a letter that summer. They went on again. Said, nah, we still don't want to see him after today. Well, I said, well, can you, will you go to dinner with us? And they said, okay, that's one thing we would do. And then by the next year, one of them was living with him, working in the company, and he was headed to the other kid's high school graduation. And his name was Paul, the father, and Sandra was the mother, and God love them, because they all, and the stepfather, had the courage to go in there and say, let's see if we can make this different. And they did.
Wow. And, talk about changing lives.
No kidding.
Wow.
Their courage.
Yeah.
You know, we always say people hold up artists' way and go, this book changed my life. So, no, no. You changed your life. We're glad we could help, but you changed your
life. It's the tools. The tools, right? The tools. And that's what, like what you said earlier about society maybe being partly at fault. And that's, I agree. I think that the more we become more conscious, we can be the society that helps those people.
Exactly. By talking about it.
Exactly
like
what
this
we're
show.
Doing.
Very important what you're doing.
I can't imagine more a more important conversation. I mean, father and son. I mean.
And I got your next song for you to write.
What's that?
It's about that yearning for a child of your own. And a
hold on, let me write it down. I'm capturing the idea right now. And then I'm going to leverage my strengths around it.
And you'll call your network, which is me and Mark. Mark will go to that Bösendorf for a visit.
Well, maybe I'll write it and Mark will sing it.
Absolutely.
And you'll play. Do you play?
No, don't tell me. I don't even talk to me about it. I'm so jealous of the players.
Oh, really? Yeah,
Mark plays, I play. Yeah, and anybody who can go, hey, let's start in E, and off they go. I just don't have that ear. I wish I did. I love it, though.
Where
are we going?
I'll tell you where I want to go. I was like, this is what you talked to Oprah about, and this is why I was stumped, because I wanted to make a joke, and then I'm like, am I making a joke or am I being self-conscious? It's like this is the stuff you talked to Oprah about. Did she ask better questions? Like, is there a question that she asked that I haven't asked yet that's good?
No, actually,
she's Oprah, for God's sake. I mean,
wait a minute, hold it. I just got to reframe this for you, right? Oprah has had 17 production teams of 6 or 8 people apiece.
Uh-huh.
And there's a set of blue cards that she has in a teleprompter.
Uh-huh.
I don't mean to tell your story, Oprah, because you're great, but there's an awful lot of support. She has a big network, and those questions are there, and she knows, you know. So there you go.
Okay, so
when you have 17 production teams, you will think of everything.
So, in other words, if I suck, it's okay because I don't have 17 people supporting me.
So put it on your lack of teams.
Well, we do have to realize that the first time we're going to do something isn't going to be good.
It was good. It wasn't good.
It was good.
It was good.
I mean, the first time you were in front of a camera.
Oh, no.
The first time we were in front of a microphone?
No, you and I. We're good.
We're good. Because we've done a lot.
We're good.
But the first time I was on it.
What was number
live
three?
Television, I froze
number
up
three
so bad they had to cut it.
Reflaming failures.
That went down in flames.
Okay. You know what? This has been really good. We've touched on successes and insecurities here.
Your new mic next time.
Children I don't have and that I need. Here, I'll hold. Let me hold your mic for you. See, it was going good until.
And then I broke the mic. Right, there we go. That'll hold it. I got it, Scott. I got it.
You know what? We have. we have just a minute or two left, and Brian, you know, you've said so many things to a lot of people. You've talked to wives, you've talked to husbands, you've talked to children, and you know, about relationships. You've talked to artists, and in this show already, we've talked to business people and executives already. Mm-hmm. So I think we've covered so many. Is there
so anything? You don't have to have me on again.
We got it all. That's not where I'm going with it. Is there anything that we haven't touched on? Or... It will be a pleasure.
Money.
Again.
That's the next one, I guess.
Okay. So like,
and we wrote money because two years into Artist Way, we were asking groups, you know, what they needed help with. And they said, oh, it's money. You know, a lot of us are waiting to be creative or do what we really want when we have money. And a lot of others were just struggling with it enough that it kept the focus off anything. They don't have the bandwidth. I mean, if we're worried about rent,
it's
hard to have the bandwidth. Or the guilt-free time where your voice isn't going, Mark, what are you doing? You know, you can't write on spec. You need a job. You know, you got to have rent. And that balance is important.
So what do you say to those people?
I say, first of all...
So the first page is not you're screwed, right?
No, it's not you're screwed.
Get a job.
No. You may need to get a job, but...
Of money drunk,
we can
money
do
sober.
Both. Think of it as any other addictive process. Money has just as many...
Wow.
Addictive neurons firing. It's just, you know, same centers of the brain as cocaine, and you know, that's shopping. We worked with people with, you know, I remember one woman who had a whole warehouse full of stuff that she owned that she'd blacked out and she didn't even know she had it. You know, she had a very wealthy, she was what she called a trust fund survivor. But I recently did another piece of work on money, which will be out soon, which I'll tell you about, because there's so much that the money recovery groups have done that actually now reflects the neuroscience. For instance, we all have a status quo bias. Once we're in a deal, we don't want to change the deal. That's why we keep life insurance that we really, you know, isn't a good deal for us anymore. We don't move our Fidelity account even though it's losing money because we don't want to accept that loss. And small change doesn't matter. We have what's called a small money bias. And so the idea that I have $15 a day for, you know, lattes and a muffin really doesn't equate to us to the $300 we'd have if we didn't spend it that day.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so we have so there's a few tools like that that are now coming that we would add to Money Trunk today, you know, that we didn't know then.
Yeah.
So
you're learning and growing, and you're sharing what you're learning and growing, and thank you for doing that. Thank you.
My pleasure.
For being here.
I'm going home listening to that CD again. I really like your voice.
Thank you. I actually, speaking of coffee and a muffin, we're going to get together after the show, right?
That's for right. Absolutely. And,
okay.
That's right.
Excuse me. Can Oprah come?
Yeah. All right. Enough about that. All right. So our guest has been Mark Bryan.
And we'll continue to be
next show and the next. So markbryan.com, BRYAN, and Mark Lajure, LAISURE, will be back with us when we come back. We're going to have our producers wrap right after this.
Are you achieving your highest potential? Do you know what that looks like? Louise Ashby Life Coaching makes it a mission to bring balance and abundance to every area of your life, giving you the opportunity to do and be all that you've dreamed. Anything is possible if you just believe. Contact author and motivational speaker Louise Ashby for your complimentary session and see if her individualized style is for you. You can email Louise at louiseashby.org. That's LOUISEASHBY.org or telephone 323-592-3181. That's Louise at louiseashby.org or telephone 323-592-3181. Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows.
If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page.
We're back, and this is our producer's wrap here on Life Changes with Filippo with Mark LeJour and I. And Mark, first of all, I have to say thank you because I know you know a lot of really cool people, but I think Mark takes the cake.
He took the cake.
Yeah, and I want it back.
I didn't know we had a cake.
No, I mean, because at least as far as my kind of people,
Mark's a champion, obviously. I mean, the product, the books, the wisdom, his approach, his easygoing style, and that brilliant smile. And
humbleness.
Yeah, all of that.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah. Integrity.
We're lucky to have him on the show, and I've been lucky to call him a friend, and it's been nice to reconnect because it's been a while.
So
this is a good opportunity for us to get creative again.
Well, our producer, Scott, every once in a while you heard him say, Oprah, Oprah. You know, the thing is that, talk about integrity, our guest, knows, obviously, if he knows Oprah and has been on so many times, he knows a lot of celebrities. A lot of celebrities, a lot of people who are famous executives and all that as well, have studied with him personally or have read his book, et cetera, et cetera. And we were talking during the break how he thought I was asking him, like, give us some people that have success stories, like people we would know. And maybe I did say it that way. I'm not sure. But he said, you know, it's not about that. Afterwards, he says, it's not that I wasn't answering your question. He says, it's not about that because it's not about the success. It's about our own personal journeys and our own personal creativity and creating that and all that. So when you put a face on it or a name on it, it's like, you can be that. No, it's not about being that. It's about being you and your more authentic self. And I'm putting words in his mouth. He didn't say all that. We had to come back from commercial, but I just know.
Well, that resonates with us and what the show's about, and kind of getting back to that, you know, returning to innocence or reclaiming yourself, your authentic self, like you were saying. I think that's really a big part of what we're about.
And be your own rock star.
Work resonates and be your own rock star.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, exactly. But then I said to him, okay, so the next break, are you going to tell me who?
Yeah, well, it just depends on how much cake he took.
That's right. He took it already. So anyway, but, you know, that's a true story about having studied the artist's way and people recommending it to me and all of that. And then having other artists that I knew also doing it as well. And it's like, oh, have you done this? Have you done this exercise? Oh, what happened to you when you did that exercise? And I have to tell you, do the exercises, guys. Do them.
Yeah, that's a big part of it, the actually getting active, doing the doing. And that's, you know, part of that creative process. I think what this work really does is inspire that. And we've gotten away from that. You know, we're in the have been for so long in this age of, autonomy and mechanical processes and repetitive procedures. And we really did. We unlearned creativity, and this inspires that ability to get in and get fluid again and really exercise those muscles.
Yeah, you know, I just wonder. We were talking about fathers, right? It's not easy being a father, and especially nowadays. And so sometimes, you know, as parents, we stop kids from doing something because we don't have time for them to do it because we have to go to work and you have to get in the car or whatever. So the kid might interpret that like, oh, I'm not supposed to do this activity, or he doesn't appreciate this activity, or whatever it is. And so sometimes it's not because a parent or even a teacher or whatever that is trying to discipline you a certain way. It's just like,
well, this is what I was going to say. I disagree. I'm learning that it really is relatively easy to be a father if you just let them be themselves, if you let them be creative. What we've done is created a society that puts parents in a position of saying, no, don't touch that, don't walk on that grass, don't do this, don't do that, we got to be here on time, we got to be there, whoa, sit down. All of these restrictions, whereas all they're trying to do is be creative.
Yeah.
So the more you can just get out of the way, and the more I watch my son just be creative and let that be what it is, that's not that difficult.
Well, I'll tell you what, I felt like I could just be what it was today and just enjoy, just, I had bookends, the Mark bookends, and I can just be myself in the middle. Thrive with my creativity. And I hope you all are going to be thriving with your creativity as you learn more about how you yourself can be the rock star that you came here to be. Talk about life changes, huh? This is Filippo Voltaggio thanking you all for being part of this show. I want to thank our producer, Dorothy Donahue, and reminding you that as life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes.